next month is the 20th anniversary of Kurt Cobain's death. 2 decades have passed since the lead singer of Nirvana committed suicide, yet there's intense interest in his life. A few days ago, a press photographer released photos of the dingy L.A. apartment Cobain shared with Courtney Love. Before that, Seattle police found and developed 4 rolls of film connected with Cobain's death. They were in an evidence locker since 1994. While these images are of disarray and death, another set of photographs celebrates the beginning of the singer's career. Bruce Pavitt's book, Experiencing Nirvana, Grunge in Europe, 1989, is full of intimate, behind-the-scenes photos taken during Nirvana's first European tour. This was before their chart-topping album, Nevermind. It was before grunge music went mainstream, and before everyone had the internet. That last part is important, because if it weren't for the small indie record label Sub Pop, Nirvana might never have made Nevermind, and instead been a Nevermind band. Bruce Pavitt, co-founder of Sub Pop, spoke with Suran Ramela.
Tell us, how did you come to sign Nirvana?
Well, my business partner, Jonathan Poneman, had been handed a demo tape by Seattle producer Jack Endino. This was in January of 1988. After John and I checked out the demo, we invited the band up to play a showcase at the Central Tavern in Pioneer Square. That was early April 1988. And the band was pretty rough around the edges at the time. They didn't really have many songs worth noting, and their live performance was a little weak, but Kurt Cobain had an amazing voice. So we decided to sign them based on Kurt Cobain's voice. When I tell you, you're the queen of
my heart. Please don't deceive me. Why did you take the band to Europe?
We took Nirvana, Tad, and Mudhoney to Europe because the British music media was the most powerful music press in the world. You have to remember, this was a pre-internet era. So for music fans to get in touch with new music, even in the States, a lot of fans would read the British music magazines. The world's information was not a click away. If you wanted to discover new music, you might have to drive into Seattle and go to one of the few indie record stores to discover some of this music, pick up Melody Maker Sounds, or maybe pick up Maximum Rock and Roll and some of the underground fanzines in the United States. So discovering new music was a real process. It was a real commitment at that time.
Back to your book, the photos are high-energy photos of Nirvana, Mudhoney, and Tad. Why did it take so long for you to share the photos?
Well, to be perfectly honest, after Kurt's passing, I had a very hard time even listening to Nirvana's music. I packed up a lot of my memorabilia in a box and stashed it away. And it was only through time that I was able to kind of come to terms with Kurt's death and revisit that period. A lot of these photos are very personal. These are basically intimate photos of friends hanging out and playing music. They're not professional photos by any means, but I do think they capture a certain intimacy, a certain camaraderie, and a certain connection. It was sad for me to revisit that time, and in piecing together the book, I feel like it was there was a real healing process there.
That was Bruce Pavitt speaking with Suan Ramela. Pavitt and Mark Baumgartner, author of Love, Rock Revolution, and editor-in-chief of the Seattle Weekly, will be discussing Nirvana and grunge at Book People of Moscow this Saturday evening. More information at nwpr.org and on our Facebook page.